Welcome back to A Place for Film, the official IU Cinema podcast. I'm Elizabeth Rell, and with me as always is my super busy friend, David Carter.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to see me today.
You know, look, I work the three jobs now. I've made some choices in my life. Do I have some regrets? Not really, but I wish I was a little less busy. But I'm doing well, and I'm enjoying my new job at the Heartland Film Festival. We're just trying to get these short films. We had a record number of submissions this year, so we're essentially just trying to get them watched at this point.
Yeah.
I would say the curatorial process was begun long before I got there, but as far as like last minute entries, those haven't started being curated yet. So, but I'm doing well. Are you doing okay today, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I'm just a little sore.
Yes, we
got our shots.
We both got our shots this week within a day of each other. I just got sore arm. Elizabeth, you said you just sore?
Yeah, my arm is really sore. And then, like, I got a kink. Like, there's a kink in my neck that sometimes is there normally, but it's especially bad today. So I'm just working that out and then, like, laying around in my sweatpants because I can.
But, yeah, we are here this week. If you probably listened to our Earth Day episode that we dropped earlier this week. If everything goes according to plan, this episode will be up on Sunday morning. It's a very short episode. It's not even like a weekly watch episode where we talk about what we watched this week. I just felt weird not having an episode the week of the Oscars, despite me not being particularly excited for the Oscars.
Yeah.
So we just want to do like a quick little like a... We're talking about the Oscars. We're also just kind of talking about whatever we want this week. We're just kind of catching up a little bit, but this will be a very, very, very short episode. But before we get into the mixed bag of a main topic, but mostly about the Oscars, Elizabeth is going to bring us the schedule at the IU Cinema.
Coming up this week at IU Cinema, first on Tuesday, April 27th at 7 p.m., we have the 2020 film, Mayor, which follows the real-life political saga of Musa Hadid, the Christian mayor of Ramallah, during his second term in office as he addresses short-term projects, such as paving sidewalks, and long-term ones, such as ending the occupation of Palestine. This film is a part of our Consequences of Enduring Conflict, Exploring Israeli-Palestinian Relations series, and we'll have a post-film Q&A with Citizens for a Just Peace in Palestine, Israel. Also this week, starting on Wednesday, April 28th, and available until May 12th, we have Charlie Chaplin's 1925 classic, The Gold Rush. Shot partly on location in the Sierra Nevadas, The Gold Rush follows a lone prospector as he searches for gold in the Klondike and falls in love along the way. This film is a part of our Any Day Classics Make 'em Laugh series and is available free of charge for those who are signed up to receive IU Cinema weekly emails, which you can do by visiting the contact page on the cinema's website.
Okay, Elizabeth, before we start talking about the Oscars, I just need everyone to be listening to this podcast to know that I watched the movie Ishtar. Watching Elaine May movies, they've all been masterpieces. I don't want to get too in the weeds about it. Everyone knows I listen to Blank Check on this podcast. Go listen to them talk about it, whatever. I watched Ishtar a couple of days ago, and I have not been able to stop thinking about Ishtar. Ishtar is, I would say, the movie that, I guess it technically ended her career. Like, it's always talked about as, like, the movie that destroyed her career and it bombed. And, like, it was always, like the movie Brigadoon for some reason. Ishtar was one of those movies that's just, like, a punchline movie that I remember growing up and hearing it be the punchline to many jokes. And I understand why this movie didn't connect with the audience when it came out. Because it's bizarre. It's a bizarre movie. The humor is bizarre. It's got that weird Mikey and Nikki energy in some spots. The jokes and songs that she writes for the movie are bizarre. They've been stuck in my head for the last 2 days, despite, like, the whole point is that these songs are intentionally awful.
Telling the truth can be dangerous business. Honest and popular don't go hand in hand.
If you admit that you can play the accordion, no one will hire you in a rock and roll band.
That they're kind of like just made up on the spot and like not very good at all. And yet I cannot stop thinking about Ishtar. And I just wanted to bring that to people's attention. You should check out Ishtar if you haven't watched it in a long time.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. I haven't watched too many things. I did watch this documentary on the Dana Carvey show, which was like a very short-lived sketch comedy show in the 90s, which was pretty entertaining. I don't know that I would have been the biggest fan of the Dana Carvey show, but the documentary is a lot of fun. And there's like this little bit where they talk about how since Dana Carvey was so popular, they like gave them the TV slot right after Home Improvement, which at the time was like the biggest show. So like the best lead in they could have gotten. And none of them had ever watched it. And so they're like planning all these things and they're basically doing whatever they want, even though they know it's definitely risks they're taking. And they've gone through a couple of episodes and they finally see like an advertisement. And it's like the episode where Jonathan Taylor Thomas thinks he might have cancer or something. And they're like talking about it in the little preview. And he's like, I don't want to die, Dad. And then it cuts to a clip of the Dana Carvey show. And it's some stupid thing. I don't know. Some ridiculous stupid thing. And it was pretty funny. And it's like that's a big reason. Like we have Stephen Colbert and Steve Carell. Like they were on the show. So I recommend that. It's a fun watch for an afternoon.
Wonderful. I will definitely check that out as someone who is a fan of like 90s alt comedy.
When they told me the first sketch that they started with, I was like, what were they expecting? Their first sketch was like Bill Clinton, who was the current president, and he was saying they had locked up Hillary in a room and he was like, I'm going to be the nurturing mother to this country. And he opens his shirt and he just has teats and he starts literally feeding things. Like they hand him animals, they hand him animals and babies and there's actual milk coming out of them. And I'm like, excuse me?
Sounds like a masterpiece. I can't wait to check this out. So good. 90s alt comedy, sketch comedy was the best. I have nothing else to add to this conversation.
Yeah. Okay. You'll like it. I think you should watch the movie, especially, David.
Well, I did put a timer on us, so we have 10 minutes to talk about the Oscars, which I think is proper amount of time. Based on the fact that me and Elizabeth, just full transparency, me and Elizabeth didn't see a lot this year. I saw more than Elizabeth, not, I would say, marginally more, I guess, but we didn't see a lot this year. I was kind of privy to some of the Oscar controversy, like the fact that Daniel Kaluuya and Lakeith Stanfield are both nominated for supporting actor, despite Judas and the Black Messiah. They are literally the titular roles.
So one of them has to be the star.
Like, at least one of them has to be a star. I mean, this is, well, also, it's closer to Amadeus, where it's like a co-lead situation, because the movie shifts focus between the two men, so I don't understand the Academy Awards, but you know, the Academy Awards, they, you know, even among the tribulations of the year and trying to figure out what would even be the movies to talk about this year, like, they seem to have gone out of their way to try to get more people of color in all the categories nominated, to get more women nominated in the technical and artistic roles. You know, there are weird things, like, I am curious if they're about to give Glenn Close her apology Oscar for what is probably what I've heard is her worst film she's been in a long time. So that's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, it would be. I hope not. I love Glenn, obviously we love Glenn, but
yes. And once again, I did not say anything about her performance in that film. I have not seen that film. I do know the film is bad, though. I find that very interesting. As far as my commentary on the Oscars this year, I am curious to see how it will be hosted and handled, but I don't have a lot of commentary to add to this. Like, I really just hope that they give Chadwick a posthumous Oscar this year for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom and best leading role, despite that, like, I really did like Riz Ahmed in The Sound of Metal, and I've heard Anthony Hopkins is great in The Father, and I like Gary Oldman in Mank, but doesn't even need to be here right now. And Mank is one of those movies that, like, I hate the fact that I have to defend it because I legitimately think it's a good movie, but there are things about it that, like, I have no defense against. Like, I don't know. I just don't think Gary Oldman should be nominated for an Oscar for that movie, despite giving a good performance, but it's not even, like, one of his best performances. And obviously there are other thoughts I have about Gary Oldman that we don't need to get into. But yeah, I don't know. Like, if you were to ask me what I think will for sure be the things to happen, it's pretty much a given at this point that Chloe Zhao will probably win Best Director for Nomadland because I think she won the DGA award. I would say that it's the most interesting thing for me is because I didn't see a lot of the animated pictures this year, but I did see Soul, and usually a Pixar movie is always a shoe-in to win Best Animated Film, usually, but there are two Pixar films nominated this year, one of which is Onward, which came out at the beginning of the pandemic, and they decided...
Which I forgot existed.
Forgot existed, but I would say Wolfwalkers is probably the one that's had the most, like, critical praise behind it, so I would say it would be interesting if Wolfwalkers won over Soul this year. I have sadly never seen either of the Shaun the Sheep movies, and Over the Moon apparently is just not good. And, you know, as far as, like, interesting... things that, like, interesting upsets I would like to see, it would be really funny. It's funny that Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross are going up against themselves in musical score because they did Mank and Soul, both jazz influenced scores, which is really funny if you're a Nine Inch Nails fan to see them do that. Terrence Blanchard's score for the Five Bloods I really liked a lot. Neither me and Elizabeth have seen Minari, so, like, we can't really comment on.
I want to see it so bad.
We want to see very badly, so we can't really comment on nominees for that. So, Elizabeth, what are your Oscar thoughts? And we will literally wrap this up right after that.
So, I went through the list and counting, like, Best Picture and then all of the movies that people are nominated for like something like Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, where it's, like, an actress nominated, but it's not nominated for Best Picture. I've only seen 4 movies. So if that tells you anything about this last year, I will say I enjoyed Ma Rainey. For me, like, as a personal preference, I don't know how much I like just, like, the straight play adaptation to movie type thing, like with the, like, long monologues, etc. I don't know how well that translates to movies for me just in general. So personally, I thought Riz Ahmed in The Sound of Metal would have been my best actor, but I feel like Chadwick Boseman's kind of the shoe-in at this point.
I mean, it's because it's not even that it's one of those nominations where it's like, that's not what he's being nominated for. He's being nominated for, like, most of the back half of his career, essentially.
Yeah.
And
he was good in it, so...
He's great. I mean, he is legitimately one of the better parts about that movie. I like August Wilson in his plays a lot. I actually do like the staginess of, like, a play to film.
Yeah. Okay, so we're kind of...
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like it. I like virtuostic, like...
I really, like, enjoy the theater. So for me, I was like, I would just rather watch a theater production of this.
100%. I would love to see I'd rather see this in a theater. I've just unfortunately been a person whose life has not allowed me to like ain't a lot of theaters in Indiana doing August Wilson plays. That's just the reality of it. So I take what I can get most of the time. That's why I like the movie. That's why I like Denzel's Fences so much.
Yeah, that's kind of nice.
Do you have any other thoughts before we wrap up?
I mean, Nomadland.
Yes.
Is my top front runner, I think, still. But as I said, I only have seen a quarter of the Best Picture nominees. So,
I mean, we usually do like all of our categories. But what do we think is going to win Best Picture? I will say, just based on what I know about the Academy, what the year's been, the fact that, like, the Academy voters actively do not watch certain movies if they, like, bum them out in any way. This is an interesting category. I would say usually the Trial of Chicago 7 might be the one to...
That's the only one I'm like, no. Well, that and Mank. Sorry, Mank.
I mean, I don't think Mank's going to do it just because I think Mank's had enough, like... Even though it's kind of served up on a platter for the Academy to like it, it's just had enough, like, people being like, why is David Fincher making this type of movie, despite it being a good movie? It's just been a weird mixed critical reaction. So I would say if you know, put money down on it, I would say probably Nomadland. If I'm to put money, there's no way Judas and the Black Messiah has a shot given its subject matter. I would like to see The Father. I've heard only good things about The Father, so I would like to see that before I'd say anything. If there was an upset, it could be Minari.
I was going to say that. I could see, and I would be totally happy with that, even though I haven't seen it yet.
Yes.
I'd be like, cool.
Yeah. Honestly, outside of, once again, I can't speak on Minari or The Father, like, there's no, like, big, like, this movie is just a black spot on the best picture nominee. And even the Chicago 7 is more of a, like, Aaron Sorkin shtick has gotten old, I think, is more the problems people have with that movie.
Yeah. Are people thinking that, did I see Andra Day as a front runner for actress?
Let's see.
Or did I make that up and I just saw an article about her?
You know, I truly don't know who the front runners for actress are this year.
Because I had heard a lot about Vanessa Kirby, but then there's that whole thing with Shia LaBeouf. So I'm like, I don't know how many people saw Pieces of a Woman.
Yes. I mean, I don't, you know what? I don't know if it is Andra Day. It's funny because I've heard not great buzz about the movie.
That's the thing, though. Is she the only the U.S. first Billie Holiday nomination, right?
Yes. Yeah, I have no idea. I would like to see Promising Young Woman just so I can see Carey Mulligan's performance in it. But I don't know who the clear frontrunners besides Best Actor are, honestly. Like,
who do you think is going to get supporting? This one is an interesting category. Yeah.
Well, we've already talked about the category fraud in the category. I mean, the coolest win would be Paul Rocky
from Sound of Metal.
Yeah, because that's an incredible performance, and it's also just that's just the cool choice. I would say maybe Daniel Kaluuya.
I'd be cool with that.
I think, like, I feel
he's been hamming it up on the promotion circuit.
Yes, I feel like he's been doing, like, the most, like, feet on the ground promotion. Sacha Baron Cohen got nominated for the wrong movie, which I find is really funny, but whatever.
Oh yeah, it should have been for Borat movie.
Yeah, it clearly should have been for the Borat movie. And Leslie Odom Jr. is very good in One Night in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I have no notes for it. He sounds exactly like Sam Cooke. It's crazy.
Yeah.
No notes.
I haven't seen that one yet. I need to check it out still. I haven't seen a lot.
It is less of a direct translation of a play to screen adaptation. It is more of a movie than I don't know. I enjoyed it. And he gets the part of the movie that makes me cry the most. He does a great job. But thanks for joining us in this very short episode where we just kind of putter around and talk about the Oscars a little bit. We will be back with more regular episodes again next week once I figure out what the last couple of, like, proper semester. Once we figure out our schedule and what, you know, there's only a couple of things left in the semester this week. And then me and Elizabeth, we are going to start figuring out what our summer program will be, because we're going to at least do a couple of months worth of episodes. And then we'll probably take a small hiatus just to give ourselves a break and go enjoy the summer being fully vaccinated, honestly. So stay tuned for that. But I'd like to thank Brittany Friesner for letting us do this podcast. I'd like to thank Steve Alford and the Rational Discourse for the use of our theme song, Chimney, off of the album Live at the Mothlight. Please leave a review, rate, review, and subscribe. Once again, I will go check and read your review as long as they're not inflammatory. You can find me on Twitter at SamuraiFlix, on Instagram in Letterboxd at Robert Dolphy. Elizabeth, where can people find you?
Twitter, Letterboxd. I was like, where can they find me? Twitter, Letterboxd, Instagram, at my name, Elizabeth Rowell.
Wonderful. Well, this has been A Place for Film. Have a good time at the Oscars, and we'll see you at the movies, quite literally, hopefully, later this year. So, good night.
Good night.